Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie with Reason TV, and today we're talking with Major Neil Franklin, retired from the Maryland State Police. He's also the Executive Director of Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, a group of cops, law enforcement people, active and retired, who fight against the drug war and its policies. Neil, thanks for talking to us.
Thanks for having me, Nick.
You guys have created a great study that's online at LEAP's website. And you delivered a copy of this to Gil Kerlikowske, the current drug czar. What are you trying to accomplish?
One of the first things we wanted to do was put together a comprehensive look at those past four decades, which will focus upon financial cost, human cost, addiction.
Neil, you were at a certain point in your career, you were a drug warrior. And that changed. What happened to flip you on this issue?
When I retired in 1999, I went to work for the Baltimore Police Department. And just a few months after my retirement date, I had a conversation with a comrade of mine, Edward Totley. He was telling me about a case he was working. He was going to make one final buy of cocaine from a mid-level drug dealer. He was working with the FBI on a task force right here in D.C. And as we've had in the past, we've had these conversations and we weren't thinking about the inherent danger or the possible danger. October 30th, I got a phone call late one night, woke me up, and it was a coworker saying that Ed Totley had been shot. Excuse me. So my wife and I get into the car, and we drive down to PG General Hospital, and it's too late. What had happened, when the dealer, it had driven the dealer to the location to get the drugs. The dealer came back to the car, supposedly with the drugs. And he paused for a moment to extinguish his cigarette, and as soon as he did that, he reached in the car and shot Ed Totley at point blank range in the head. And it was that moment, you know, that night and those weeks after and those months after where I just said, what are we doing? And I started thinking about the other officers that I knew that had died. And just a couple of years after that, more officers in Baltimore City were dying from drug crime. You know, dealers, the prohibition part. And that's when I made my turn. That's when I stumbled across LEAP's website when looking for this information and this research, trying to find others who think like I do.
What is the best way to honor the death of Officer Totley and people like him?
The best way that we can honor them is to completely dismantle this system of prohibition and implement a new system focused on treatment and education, period. We know it. We know that needs to be done. Why don't we just do it?
What are the big round numbers or the findings of the war on drugs? What has it been doing, and what has it been, how has it been affecting American society?
When we first started the war on drugs, we only had a few hundred thousand people in prison. Today, we're somewhere around 2.5 million people in prison. Over those 40 years, we've put over 39 million people in prison, and a vast majority of those are from nonviolent drug offenses.
Cost. So that's things like simple possession,
yeah,
or low-level dealing.
Low-level dealing, like, yeah, right. We're not talking about kingpins, right, and even though we've arrested a few. We're looking at $1.3 trillion spent on law enforcement efforts. We're talking about cops, judges, judicial system, and prisons. That's quite costly. When you look at the number of bodies, look at Mexico. Over the past 5 years alone, since we've stepped up efforts in assisting Mexico in fighting back against the cartel, you're looking at over, I think the number's not like 38,000 people murdered at the hands of the cartel. In Venezuela, it's even more. In our very own country, in our neighborhoods and in our communities, every year, somewhere between 5,000 to 8,000 people murdered at the hands of our neighborhood gangs.
Why do police chiefs push back against the drug war as it's currently constituted? What's it doing to their efforts to actually control crime?
You have to think about the history of how local police got involved in this in the first place. It came from the federal government in the form of funding. We were, and I sometimes I use the word we bribed in getting into this war. Many police agencies now continue to balance their budgets through federal funds, through grants, burn grants, and what have you. And to lose that money would be significant, and you will hear some police chiefs speak to that.
And yet they're against the war on drugs.
Well, they say that it's failed, that it's not working. They just haven't taken the next step to move away from it, to really end it. And so they feel pressured politically, and sometimes you can't blame them, but because they care about their jobs. Politically, they're pressured to toe the federal party line.
What are the things that we can do quickly and immediately to redress that, to start fixing it and get out of this war mentality?
Well, immediately, where you don't need any legislative action whatsoever, the president can move marijuana from a Schedule 1 category down to a 3 or 4.
And that would mean, I mean, currently marijuana is scheduled under federal drug classifications as having no medical value
absolutely.
Whatsoever.
And then that's already been proven wrong with the 15 states that are now moving in medical marijuana and with the many doctors behind that. But in doing that, in completely removing it from the schedule system whatsoever, then he gives the authority then to the states to move and to begin to develop models to manage marijuana within their communities. And the next important thing is it's now time for a discussion, not a debate. That's been done. A discussion as to what are the best possible models? How can we manage these dangerous drugs within our communities? We already know that prohibition does not work, so now we have to regulate and control. Let's have the discussion, come up with some solutions.
We've also been down this road before. In the 70s, you know, we heard stories that Philip Morris had trademarked names like Acapulco Gold and Maui Wowie, anticipating the legalization of marijuana. Jimmy Carter seemed to be weeks away before a big scandal broke and pulled back from legalizing drugs in any way, shape, or form. Other countries have decriminalized. Portugal has decriminalized drugs. But are we actually at a different stage of the discussion over the drug war?
Completely different than back in the 70s for a number of reasons. Number one, we didn't have the data that we have today. Prison numbers, financial numbers, body count, we didn't have those numbers. When you look at the leaders from Mexico, the former presidents have come out with the commission just a couple weeks ago in their report.
Yeah, we have Republican people running for the Republican presidential nomination, people
absolutely.
Like Gary Johnson and Ron Paul calling
absolutely.
For the legalization of drugs.
But here's another significant part. They didn't have LEAP. They didn't have law enforcement against prohibition back in the 70s. And we're making a significant difference because we bring a completely different perspective. We've been on the front lines. We've been out there in this battle. And we can speak from that perspective, letting people know that this is a complete failure.
What is the best way both for civilians and law enforcement to find out more about LEAP?
Well, they can go to copssaylegalizeddrugs.com, and we have a brand new website up, very comprehensive, with some very good information, and they really should visit that site.
Major Neil Franklin, retired Maryland State Police, Executive Director of LEAP Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. Thanks very much for talking to us.
Thanks, Nick.
I'm Nick Gillespie for Reason TV.